4 this morning. In this passage, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, we have the word rest mentioned 9 times. That's something we all enjoy, isn't it? Our rest. And that's what this passage is about, a rest. So let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So our title today is A Rest. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your precious word, the opportunity to open it together and hear from the Holy Spirit. Pray that you would use it in each of our hearts as you see fit. Lord, that you would be glorified. You would guide us in your truth and be pleased with this service and our response to it. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God gives us some great advice here as we look forward to our rest. And I'm sure you've already noticed that he's not talking about here on earth, is he? He's talking about when we leave this earth, we have a rest waiting for us. And it's something, of course, that we all look forward to. But in the meantime, he tells us there in verse 1, we need to fear. And in verse 8, that we need to be looking ahead to that another day. And in verse 10 and 11, he says, while we are looking forward to that rest in the future, what are we supposed to be doing now? But working and laboring for Jesus Christ. So notice in verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. What you find in this passage as he's looking back at Israel is it was all about faith. It's always been about faith in Jesus Christ. It's the only way we're going to be able to partake in that rest is if we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our only hope for salvation. And some people came short of it because they didn't, as it says in verse 2, not being mixed with faith. They heard it, but they didn't believe. Many today, they hear the gospel, they hear about Jesus, they might hear the word of God, but that doesn't mean that they have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if we have any hope of partaking in this eternal rest that the Bible talks about, we must believe. Look at verse 3. For we which have believed. So it's all about faith. And God says that once we've placed our faith in Jesus Christ, he wants us to live in fear. So what kind of fear is he talking about here? Well, let's look at Acts chapter 9, verse 31, and we'll see an example from the life of the apostles. But he's talking here about the fear of the Lord. Proverbs talks a lot about the fear of the Lord. Calls it the beginning of wisdom. Calls it the beginning of knowledge. The Bible says, ye that fear the Lord, we're to hate evil. And so it's hating evil. It's showing honor and reverence unto the Lord. And there's an element of actual fear there that if we choose to disobey God, we can expect some chastisement, which we should fear as well. But notice Acts 9 and verse 31. The Bible says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord. So here God's talking about these disciples in the early churches, and he says they were walking in the fear of the Lord. They were allowing the fear of the Lord to guide their steps, which is what we should do. We should be, look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. We should be reverencing the Lord. We should be fearing the Lord while we are serving Him on this earth. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Godly fear. We need to be walking in the fear of the Lord, which means putting Him first, honoring Him, reverencing Him as our God, as our Savior, as our King, as our Lord, and having a genuine fear of chastisement if we choose to disobey. So that's the first advice He gives to those of us looking forward to the rest, is if we've trusted Christ, He wants us to walk in the fear of the Lord. But if you don't believe, verse 3, you don't get to go into the rest. That's what it says, isn't it? God said of Israel, look at Psalm 95, verse 11. This is the verse that He's quoting, that they were not allowed to enter into the rest because of one reason, unbelief. Unbelief. They did not believe God. And that still holds true today. Those who do not believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again for them, and that He's the only one that can save him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. If people were not believe that and trust Christ, they will not enter into that rest. Notice Psalm 95, verse 11. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Talking about Israel. And then God, in verse 4 of our passage, Hebrews 4, uses the story of creation to, again, remind us that we have a rest awaiting us. Notice verse 4, for He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. He didn't do that because He was tired. I mean, God created the universe out of nothing. He just has to think it and it's done. That's God. He's the Creator. He did that for our benefit, to teach us the importance of rest. That's why they had the Sabbath day, but also that 1/7 of every week was to honor God 100%. And of course, we're told in Genesis, on the seventh day, God ended the work and God rested on the seventh day. Now He tells us that we have a rest awaiting us. And that will be our seventh day, if you will, a time of rest. He says in verse 6, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth, that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached, enter not in because of unbelief. Again, He limited a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Those who harden their hearts to the gospel of Jesus Christ will not enjoy the rest. Those of us that are born again, we have that to look forward to. Amen. And that is, refers to it here. Notice verse 8. For if Jesus had given them rest, in other words, then, He then would not have afterwards spoken of another day. You and I are looking forward to that another day. Amen. The future day, the day of the Lord. And Old Testament saints, they knew about this. They knew that it's not all about what's on this earth. You know, as Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. In 1 Corinthians 15:19. It's not only about now, is it? Look at Job 19, verse 25. We'll see that even Job, the oldest book in the Bible, there was no written word when Job, the events in Job happened. And yet Job knew that there was another day. John 19, verse 25. He said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. What a beautiful passage of Scripture to imagine that that was spoken and written before Moses, before the books of Moses. He said, I know that there is another day. Look at Psalm 16:11. David knew. This was about 1,000 B.C. David knew that there was another day awaiting. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And then Psalm 17, verse 15, look there. Again, David knew that there was another day awaiting for those who believed. Psalm 17, 15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. So even David understood that there's another day, this day of rest for those who have believed on the Lord. Look at Colossians chapter 3 quickly, if you would, verse 1. You and I, that are born again Christians, are looking forward to another day. And what he's teaching us here is not only are we to be walking in the fear of the Lord, but we're to be living and expecting that day. It should impact what we do now. Notice Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So the second admonition we see in this passage is, number one, we're to be fearing the Lord. But number two, we're to be looking for another day, living for another day. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says we're just strangers and pilgrims on this earth. It's, as the hymn says, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Amen. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. We're to be living for another day, expecting another day. And that day, look at verse 9 of Hebrews 4, is a day of rest. Look, it says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. It's hard to even imagine, isn't it? Look at Revelation 14, verse 13, and God describes this for us. Revelation 14, 13. It says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. That they may rest from their labors. So Bible teaches here that as we look forward to that rest, we're to be walking in the fear of the Lord, and we're to be looking forward to that day. We're to be living for that day. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, 1 John 3:3, even as he is pure. But the third thing, which is where we're headed this morning, is verses 10 and 11. What else are we supposed to do while we're looking forward to this rest? It's not rest. It's work. Amen. Look at verse 10. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore. So really, just three admonitions here as we look forward to the rest. Number one, walk in the fear of the Lord. Number two, live for then and not now. But number three, while we're waiting for that day of rest, we're to be laboring. We're to be working for the Lord. Jesus made it clear, look at John 9, 4, that once we leave this earth, it's all different. You can't work for the Lord like you can down here. We'll be in glorified bodies. It'll be a time of rest. I mean, even during the kingdom, yeah, we're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ, but we're going to be doing it in perfect bodies with perfect knowledge. It won't even be work for us. It'll be easy. But notice John 9, 4, what Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. The night cometh. There's a night coming. And he's referring primarily to the tribulation period, but obviously hell as well, when it's too late. So when's the time to work? Now. I must work the works of him that sent me now, because there's coming a night when I can't. And that's true for you and me as well. We are here to work. We're here to labor for Jesus Christ. Look at James chapter 1, verse 25. And that is our third admonition here. As we look forward to this time of rest, we're to be walking in the fear of the Lord. We're to be looking forward to that other day. And it should impact how we walk here, but we're to be working for the Lord. James 1:25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Did you see that? A doer of the what? Work. Often when we read that verse, we think it says a doer of the word, but that's not what it says, is it? It's a doer of the work. What work is that? The work of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:58. You can turn there if you want. I think most of you know it. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what we're to be doing. Matthew chapter 9. Turn there if you would. Jesus pronouncing a woe, if you will, on the situation with the harvest. Matthew 9, verse 37. Therefore saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. This is our Lord speaking. He can see the harvest like we can't see it. He can see the souls. He can see the lost people going to hell. He says, but the harvest is plenteous. There are people out there who want to know. But the laborers are few. And you know, Jesus gave very few specific prayer requests while he was on earth. He told us to pray for our enemies. But here's a specific prayer request from Jesus. What does he say? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. Amen? Laborers into his harvest. There's a day of rest coming, but it's not here yet. If you're alive, this is not a day of rest. Amen? When I say day, I'm not using a literal day. I mean, this time on earth is not a time for us to be resting. It's a time for us to be laboring. Because the rest is coming, and it lasts a really long time. Amen? Millions and millions of years. So this time is really short in comparison, but what does he say? Live for that day. Plan for that day. Lay up treasures for that day. Work for that day. Look forward to it. And while you're doing it, walk in the fear of the Lord. But until you get there, what does he want us to be doing? Laboring. That's what it says. Let us labor, therefore. Knowing that the day of rest is coming. Know that another day is coming and it's going to be amazing. Labor, therefore. Work for Jesus. He moved in. He indwells you. He gave you gifts. He gave you abilities. He gives you the power. He gives you the strength. Now he says, labor. Lest any man fall, Hebrews 4:11, after the same example of unbelief. There are some who are going to labor for Jesus Christ and they're going to get to the judgment seat and they're not going to be allowed into heaven because they thought they could labor their way into heaven. You can't do it. Do you know how many people on this earth believe in the God of the Bible? And yet they believe they're going to see him one day because of what they're doing rather than what he did. They believe they're going to get to heaven because they're good or because they've done things for God or because they worked for God. And what did Jesus say? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So many people will be cast into hell who actually worked for Jesus. But they didn't believe in Jesus. That has to come first. You got to place your faith in Jesus Christ, be born again, and then it's our job to walk in the fear of the Lord. It's our job to look forward to and live for that day, and it is our job to labor for Jesus Christ. With the gifts and the talents and the strength and the power that He has given us. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ. Amen? You know what James said? James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. The faith has to come first, but then God expects there to be works after the faith. The works doesn't generate the faith. The works get you nothing if you're not saved. But once you are saved, faith without works is dead. So we need to work until the day when we will rest for a very, very long time. While we're doing it, walk in the fear of the Lord, look forward to that day. If you're here today and you have not yet trusted Jesus Christ, trying to work for Christ is an absolute waste of time. You're getting nowhere. You're like a little hamster on one of those round wheels. You're putting forth a lot of work and you're getting absolutely nowhere. That's not what God wants. He wants you to be saved. That's why Christ died. That's why He rose again to offer you eternal life. But you must place your faith in Him. That has to come first. You must be born again, Jesus said. Once you are born again, then, yeah, He wants you to work. Because now you're not on that wheel anymore. Now you're actually accomplishing something for God. Because the Holy Spirit's doing it through you. That's what He wants. To labor until you reach that rest. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word, reminding us that we have this amazing day waiting for us, Lord, that lasts forever. We get to be with you. We get to enjoy our time with you in heaven and on earth for 1,000 years in the city of God, the New Jerusalem. We just can't. The Bible says it's not even entered into our hearts how good it'll be. But Lord, until we get there, may we labor for you. May we walk in your fear. May we live for then, lay up treasures for then, and may we labor until you take us to glory.